Hi, everyone, and welcome to the SRHM podcast. My name is Nina Sun, and I'm an associate editor for the SRHM Journal. This year, we will be producing short, regular editor's summaries to bring you the latest research, viewpoints, and review articles appearing in the SRHM Journal. We will cover recently published news and new papers and hope that this will give you a short overview of what's being published in the SRHR field. In this episode, I speak to Emma Pitchford, executive editor of the SRHM Journal, about the publications in the 2023 open issue and the evidence that stood out to her as significant to the ongoing mission of achieving sexual and reproductive health and rights for all. Hi, Emma. Can you tell us a bit about the 2023 open issue, the range of topics that are in the issue, and any papers that stood out to you personally?
Thank you, Nina. Yes, our 2023 open issue saw 75 new publications, and these ranged from journal articles through to reviews and commentaries and perspectives. They covered a range of topics, and one of the things I like about SRHM is that papers don't necessarily fit neatly into one topic because they look so much at the interrelatedness between issues relating to sexual and reproductive health and rights. This said, you can see a number of themes in the open issue for 2023. The first is papers focusing on abortion, and what's exciting about among these papers is the geographical variability. We've got papers looking, for example, at the Democratic Republic of Congo, Costa Rica, Bolivia, Nepal, Mali, India, Pacific Islands, South Africa, India, Ireland, Canada, and the United States, amongst others. And also that there's a focus on marginalized groups, including Indigenous women, gender and sexual minority community members, young people, and sex workers. You can also see a theme across the issue in relation to COVID-19. So papers looking at the impact of the pandemic and mitigation measures on sexual and reproductive health services in different regions of the world, on intimate partner violence and food security, as well as some papers which draw lessons specifically for programmatic responses. A third theme then comes around contraception, including a focus on empowerment and the rights of individuals. We have a fourth theme, I think, which looks at a group of papers around HIV. This includes a statement from the UNAIDS Reference Group on HIV and human rights. And within this group, we also have some very powerful qualitative papers. And then finally, we have a strong focus on adolescence and on sexuality education. And this focus came throughout the year, in addition to the special issue that we ran, which looked at out-of-school sexuality education. Then there were also individual papers that point to setting sexual and reproductive health and rights in a broader context of human rights. In terms of papers that stood out to me personally, that's always really hard because you see so many interesting and important papers come through, but I've selected three for today. The first is a paper by Leanne Holton and colleagues looking at autonomous choice in understanding experiences of abortion seekers in the Netherlands, and this uses iPoems as a method. The method uses existing data, in this case interview transcripts, and creates iPoems from interview sentences containing the word I. So the idea behind this is that when participants use the I form, when they speak, it's closer to their sense of self or their voice. And the idea is to provide additional insight into the lived experience of participants, and the poems themselves are often evocative. And the poems in this paper really stop you as a reader to think about things in different ways to how you might perhaps when you just read quotes from an interview. So the paper stood out for me because, firstly, because of the contribution to the field, it provides insight into autonomy and challenges that autonomous choice, which is often individualizes the concept of choice, but actually politics, healthcare policies, social realities are often borne out in the experiences of abortion seekers. And then secondly, for us, it was a novel approach and method that we saw in the journal. And I think it illustrates the rich qualitative work that we're able to publish as a journal. The second paper is a commentary paper. And I've picked this because commentaries are a very important part of SRHM in terms of what we publish in addition to original research articles. They often highlight important rights issues or breaking issues. And we had a number last year that I could have talked about, but I've picked out one by Deepika Jain, who's Professor of Law at Jindal Global University in India. The commentary is about the Supreme Court of India judgment on abortion as a fundamental right and breaking new ground. The commentary really stood out to me as it came across my desk because of the clarity of writing. So often texts about laws and amendments, whilst really vital for what we understand within sexual and reproductive health and rights, for people like myself who don't sit within the field of law, they can be a bit impenetrable. In a short space, this commentary explains very well and puts across very effectively how the court ruling, which is around the Medical Termination of Pregnancy Act, breaks ground in making it a rights-based legal framework so that the decision to terminate an unwanted pregnancy vests only with the pregnant person. But it also brings out challenges of the implementation of this on the ground, given ongoing ambiguity and existing barriers. The third paper I wanted to highlight is one by Kelly Van Treek and colleagues, who in an important paper provide a reanalysis of a published review by the Institute of Research and Evaluation, which looked at the evidence for comprehensive sexuality education in non-US settings. The reanalysis concludes that the initial review had some methodological flaws which compromised the conclusions drawn. And I've picked this one out because it's important that we're able to challenge available evidence and that that challenge itself is robust and based on a good grounding. I think it also, as the authors challenge, authors highlight themselves, serves to help the international community when they need evidence to push back about claims against CSE. And then as a researcher, I think, as well as an editor, it struck a chord with me because I think it's potentially quite a brave thing to do, to publish papers that may open you up immediately to critique. And I'm really glad that our authors are willing to do that. So those were the three from the 2023 issue that I wanted to highlight, Nina.
Thank you so much, Emma. It's great to hear there's such a wide range of themes in the open issue, and also to hear your insights about three papers that stood out to you. So looking forward to 2024, what themes would you like to see in this year's open issue?
Yes, good question. Thank you, Nina. I think the 30th anniversary of ICBD provides a catalyst for renewed global attention on sexual and reproductive health and rights. I think it also highlights, as our fantastic editorial advisory board have argued, that local and regional priorities really need to be at the fore. And I look forward to being able to reflect these priorities within the journal across 2024. I think 2024 stands out as a year because it will see national and general elections in countries covering half of the world's population. And I anticipate there'll be some really important papers coming around this politics of SRHR. And then not unrelated, I think we'll continue to have a continued focus on abortion and that young people and sexuality education will continue to gain importance. I should say that I think one of the exciting things about the open issue in particular is that we don't always predict what's going to be published. And I really look forward to being able to respond to the wider SRHR community in that sense as well.
That's really insightful, Emma, in terms of the open issue and having a wide range of responses and papers submitted, some of which the topics may surprise you. So taking that as a jumping off point, what makes the SRHM open issue unique or different than other journal publications?
Thank you. I think there's a number of things that makes SRHM unique. The first is our rights-based focus and the priority we give to this within publications that we publish. The second that you've alluded to is the range of disciplinary and methodological approaches that we welcome and that we're able to publish. The third is our effort to include non-traditional authors, and we do this by offering a range of article types to enable that. And this is something that we'll continue to review over the next year so that practitioners, people working in advocacy, people, non-traditional researchers can continue to publish in the journal. The fourth, I hope, is the effort that we put into creating a supportive environment for authors submitting to the journal. We often work very closely with authors to develop papers. We benefit as well from expertise of a really fantastic pool of peer reviewers. And then I think the fifth is because we work independently, but we sit within the wider SRHM organisation. And I think that's really important because it often provides a route to action or impact and reach for authors beyond the simple publication of a journal article.
Thank you, Emma, for this thoughtful conversation. Please check the show notes for a link to the 2023 open issue and also to find out how to submit a paper for the 2024 open issue. Follow the SRHN Journal on social media or sign up for our newsletter to receive notifications for new research. Thank you for supporting the SRHN podcast, which is produced by the SRHN staff. The music was composed by Tiber Kashian and Solomon Botong.